Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Find new roads at FreelandChevy.com.
John McClain on 104.5 The Zone, presented by FreelandChevy.com. Whether you're looking for the all-new Chevy Silverado or a reliable pre-owned vehicle, Freeland Chevy is your answer. With a huge selection of stock under $19,999, we won't stop until we've found you a vehicle that fits your lifestyle and your budget. Find new roads at FreelandChevy.com.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coming up, John McClain will join us. You can follow John on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. They had their off-season team activity, workout, media availability today. John's joining us from Houston. Tomorrow, he flies right here to the Music City. Chad, Thursday night, John McClain presents an evening with Amy Adams Drunk, where all proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We're excited about it. Martin's Barbecue, providing dinner. Big thanks to them. Thanks to Tito's Vodka, Dickel, George Dickel for providing the bourbon, Rhine Guys Brewery, 1,080 beers. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. This is the start of the off-season programs for every team that doesn't have a new coach. The ones that do, they started a week ago. It's kind of, to me, the start of the next season. You put everything behind you. We've been through the combine, league meetings. Now we got the draft coming up next week. And all that happens with teams now, like the Titans and the Texans, it's all about next season. The division's going to be really good. It's going to be competitive with Nick Foles going to Jacksonville. You got four good quarterbacks. And I can't wait. And, of course, I am excited to come to Nashville for the Thursday night benefit for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's hard to believe, but this is my 23rd year. It's hard to believe we're going on 23 years since the Oilers moved to Nashville. 23 years I've been on the radio there, and my home away from home, and I can't wait to come to my home away from home.
Well, we love that you're home away from home. Love having you here on the show, John. And you really are the perfect person to host this because of your history with the Adams family, with covering that team with the Oilers, with knowing Amy Adams Strunk. And I know this is a sold-out event, so we don't need to sell any more tickets to this. But for those people who already were smart enough to buy a ticket, they are in for a treat because of your connection to that family and what you can talk about.
Well, I tell you, I can't say enough good things about all the hard work Jonathan Hutton has done to make people a part of Team Hutton. He's done all the hard work. All I had to do was get Amy, and that was easy. As soon as I brought it up, she said, I'll be happy to do it. And I'm fired up about the people who are coming, people from the Titans front office, former players, current players, and I think everybody comes. A lot of them didn't know exactly what they were getting into, but in that hour, that first hour, 6 to 7, there's going to be a lot of people. You know, getting Eddie George to come, I've known Eddie since the day he was drafted in 1996. He's one of my favorite all-time players. Can't wait to see him, talk to him in the Titans press box before the Titans Texans play this season. So I've had a lot of people email me that used to come to the Charles Davis Foundation's dinners I hosted for 13 years, and I'm eager to see them. And I'm excited to interview Amy. I have not interviewed Amy very much. In fact, I can only think of one time, and that was in the NFL meetings. I've known her, but her dad was always the owner, and when I needed something from an owner, I went to him, and now she's the controlling owner, and I think she's been terrific, and I like the fact that she's doing this. When I told some of the other front office people and a couple of owners at the league meetings in Arizona last month, I that Amy was going to sit with me for about an hour talking about the Titans and life and the draft. And they're like, huh, what? And I said, well, it's for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And they were kind of surprised, no matter what the organization is, because NFL owners just don't do what Amy is going to do on Thursday.
Muwata will provide wine that night, Sterling Vineyards as well. So big thanks to them. Infinity Hospitality has been excellent to work with, and Thursday is going to be a huge success. John gets into town tomorrow. Big thanks to Hyatt House of Nashville at Vanderbilt for the Hutton Suite. McLean will be staying there during the week. So it's going to be fun, had by all, John. And I also want to throw out a shout out to Roy Rowan, because for all the discussion about everything that we're doing, we could not have pulled this off without his help as well. So big thanks, Rory. Rory always tunes in and listens to the McLean segments, and appreciate him.
It's funny, John, to listen to you talk about everybody that's contributing everything. And I remember the first time I did this, it was at Gaylord, and we had no idea if it's going to be very big. It's for Charles Davis Foundation. And I think we charged $300 a ticket, because I wanted it to be exclusive and I wanted to make as much money as we could for the Charles Davis Foundation. There were a lot of people that said they couldn't afford it. So I said, I believe this is about, boy, it's a long time ago, but if they would come and give like $50, I would meet them afterward. And somebody told me there was a Jack Daniel's saloon there. So I thought that sounded pretty good. And so I said, we'll go down and hang out at the Jack Daniel's saloon, and I'll tell you some stories. So I thought five or six people might show up. And when I walked outside, it was a lot. And including these two guys that brought me this humongous jug of moonshine. And they told me that, I had no idea where they said they made it, but they said it was the best that they could make, and they wanted me to have it. So I'm carting around. It looks like gasoline, this monstrous bottle. It must have weighed like 20 pounds. And we go to the Jack Daniel's saloon, and I had so much fun. Next thing I know, I'm like, whoa. And I didn't touch that. So I'm wondering, and I must have gotten out of there about 3 in the morning, and it was cool. And I was foggy, so it had been raining. And I'm carrying this monstrous jug of moonshine, trying to figure out where my car was. That's a big parking lot out there, you know, and I don't know what, plus I had quite a few drinks, and I'm glad I didn't drive. I don't think I ever found it. I think I either went inside with my moonshine and had to sleep on one of the many sofas, or I called a cab, I don't know, and went back to my hotel. And then when I left the next morning, I forgot my big jug of moonshine, and I left it in the hotel, and I said, boy, I hope the housekeepers had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, they did. There's no doubt they did. John McLean with us. You can follow him on Twitter at McLean_on_NFL. John, I should also mention, while we're just discussing the event on Thursday, the silent auction will be so wonderful. Some of the items we have, I'm not going to go through the list. I will do this on Thursday on the show when you join us. The silent auction will blow you away with what we have available to help raise money for LLS. So get ready.
Well, I can tell you one thing you're going to have is you're going to have an autographed jersey from Earl Campbell, and because I'm bringing it. And that is a cherished item in Texas, because Earl is, of course, in the Hall of Fame, the greatest football player in Houston history, one of the best in NFL history. And it's a Columbia blue that everybody here likes so much. And so it's for a great cause, of course. And Earl is a genuine Texas legend. He was designated that years ago, along with Davy Crockett, the Alamo, and things like that. So we'll be auctioning off for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. That silent auction will have an Earl Campbell jersey.
We've got an Earl Campbell jersey autograph, which is amazing. Thank you, John, for that. Thanks to Two Rivers Ford. They have donated a pair of season tickets, club level, section 226. That we will auction off on Thursday night, and we have everything in between. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I'm fired up. You've done a great job. So is everybody that's involved with it. And I hope it, I know we're going to raise a lot of money. It's going to be tax deductible for everybody that bought their tickets, the auction items, everything. One of the things, if I like to collect things and that players have signed or coaches have signed, you can't beat going to an event like this. And, I can't wait to see them. I like to just walk around. I know I've told you this, story before, but I got to tell you, there was one here. It was Texas Special Olympics. And I do that every year with Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews. And so one year, Bruce Matthews had donated his helmet from USC. And it had a couple of dents in it, some scratches and some, you know, UCLA colors in it where he had headbutted a couple of UCLA linebackers. And so I called Jeff Fisher. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm fly fishing in Chile." I said, "Well, you sound like you're next door." He said, "I'm on a satellite phone." I said, "Well, I got something you might be interested in." And I told him, I said, "It's Bruce's USC helmet. You went to USC." He goes, "Well, make sure I get it." I said, "I will." And so it was on a silent auction, and I went over, and Munchak, who was coaching the Titans at the time, had a bunch of Titans linemen there. And so I would go write down a bid, and these linemen would come up and outbid me. And so finally I told, what was Zach, the lineman, what's his last name?
Pillar.
Yeah, Zach Pillar. I told him, I said, "Zach, you keep putting your name down here, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Plus, you might get cut by Fisher." He said, "That's for real?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought you were just writing a name on it, his name on it, to get the bidding up." I said, "Well, I am. And he's going to get it." And I said, "In fact, why don't you keep bidding it up, and I'll make sure that he gets it." So when I called Fisher, I said, "Well, you got it." He said, "What'd it go for?" I said, $15. He said, "That's a great deal. Get Bruce's helmet for $1,500. I said, "No, not $1,500, $15,000. And I thought he was going to swallow the satellite phone. And I said, "You can afford it." And he goes, "Yeah, I can. I'm glad. Great." And the next time I was in Nashville, I went by his office, and there it was, prominently displayed on his desk.
615-737-1045, our number. First, though, John, your thoughts on Russell Wilson's contract with Seattle. All the rumors swirling about a trade with the Giants just a month ago, and now we know he's staying in Seattle with the Seahawks.
It's never worked, John, when a guy sets an arbitrary deadline. It rarely ever works.
Two things about Russell Wilson's contract. I never thought for a minute he'd been traded to the Giants. That was media fabricated. Of course, he never shot it down because it was good. It was when he was on one of the nighttime talk shows, and he talked about how much he loved New York. So people started picking up steam that he wanted to play for the Giants. And I have never ever seen a player set a deadline and a team respond to that deadline, unless it was some league rule that they had to do it, like this year. July 15th is the deadline for signing franchise players. So it's a multi-year deal, so maybe they'll get it done. So when a player tells a team, "I want it done by April 15th, I think it's a credit to his agent, Mark Rogers, who's a baseball agent, has no other football clients. And then also to the Seahawks. And this thing about eating up too much of the cap space, that's usually a cop-out by teams that don't do a good job with a cap. And Russell Wilson, if you're going to give that kind of money, he's been durable. He's been good. He is a great guy. Got a beautiful wife. What more could you want from a quarterback than you get from Russell Wilson?"
We agree. I agree on that. I think we all agree that Russell Wilson's worth the investment. 615-737-1045, our number. Chad, tell Paul and John about the silent auction item you've acquired.
Yeah, my buddy Nate provided us with a game-worn Steve McNair cleat that was autographed by Steve McNair that we'll have the silent auction also.
How about that, John?
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much. That may end up getting the most of all.
It could.
Since Steve is dead and always will be popular in Oilers and Titans history in Houston and Nashville. And I think that is just an incredible gesture to donate those to be auctioned. Thank you very much.
John, there, I believe that the schedule is what, released tomorrow evening, the NFL schedule?
Yes.
7 o'clock Central, I think it'll be released, 8 Eastern. They'll release it on the NFL Network, of course.
Why do they do this before the draft instead of waiting until after the draft?
I think it is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It, because they could do it afterward, they could do it earlier, because they're going to get so much publicity. Right now, the draft is getting so much publicity. They don't need to put the schedule out now. It's not a Friday night dump when they up ticket prices when teams announce it on Friday nights. But I just think it's a wasted opportunity. It should be done, I don't care when after the draft, but just after, not so close to it. Because really, teams, it's for the next 2 days, everybody's for Wednesday, Thursday, it's all going to be about the schedule, and it's not going to be about the draft.
Marcus Mariota is somehow incapable of telling us how much weight he, this is how vague he is. It cannot tell us how much weight he's gained. Somewhere between 5 and 10 pounds. It looks to me, you know, and I can't eyeball weight either, even for my own fat belly. But I think he's probably gained 5 pounds. And I like the idea of him playing heavier for durability's sake. But I also think if he gained 5 pounds, it's an incredibly overblown story. Your thoughts on the idea?
I agree with you 100%. I saw you tweet that yesterday and I retweeted it. 5 pounds, you can't tell when somebody gains 5 pounds unless they're like weigh 5 foot and weigh 80 pounds. And if even in 10, I think at this point in his career, he needs to do everything he can to be durable. And if it causes him to slow down a little bit, but he can still be a pocket passer and avoid the rush, and instead of gaining 10 yards, he might gain 7 or 8. I think he needs to do it. And if the strength and rehab people believe that him gaining 10 pounds is going to help him withstand some injuries, I think he should be all in. As far as not knowing 5 or 10, if he said, well, I haven't weighed in a month, of course, you know he weighed when he came for the off-season program, and he knows, and for whatever reason, he just doesn't want people to know.
He would have weighed yesterday. And also, look, we've got to point out, incredibly unlucky on the injury front, we know. He got stepped on his arm on opening day in Miami, which set the whole chain of events going on. And he could weigh 100 pounds more, and getting stepped on his arm and the ulnar nerve thing last year, guess what? Same thing.
I'll tell you a story about Warren Moon. When Warren Moon came to Houston, he was, I thought, thin, even though he'd been in Canada for 5 years. And he listed him by 210 pounds. He worked out like crazy. When Steve Watterson got there, he lived in the weight room because he said, especially early in his career, he took a beating. And he told Deshaun Watson, when Watson was drafted here, you have to constantly work on your conditioning. He said to build your body as a quarterback where you can withstand hits. And he said it's an ongoing process. And if you start early, you don't wait like me till my 3rd year when he did, when Watterson got there in 1986. And so I'm sure Mariota, I would like to think that Mariota understands that as he gets older, he has to work even harder than he did when he was coming into the league.
John, and I'm speaking from our show's perspective and interaction we have with callers, with people on social media, whatever it may be. But I sense that because the draft is in Nashville this year, we've talked a lot more about the draft being in Nashville and people excited about Nashville hosting the draft. And it may have taken away a little bit of the Titans draft in this locally because everyone is so fascinated with how Nashville is going to pull this off. I'm curious from the national perspective, because you talk to people all over the league, is there an excitement and buzz about the draft being in Nashville as opposed to, say, Philly or Chicago or Dallas when it's been in the past? Is there anything different about this draft, or is it just another new city that's going to host the NFL draft now?
I think for everybody that has been there or who has wanted to go there, and this is their opportunity, they're pumped. There's a lot of people at the league office in New York who've never been there who are coming, and they're excited about it. I talked to a lot of them at the owners' meetings and then some at the combine, that they are really pumped to come there because they've heard great things. You know, you don't hear anything bad about Nashville. Only thing bad I can say about it is something's going to get worse, and that's traffic. And with everything that's happening there, the site, and the thing is I've always told everybody, you know, it's not country music city, it's music city. You can get any kind of music you want. And people hear great things about it. And there's a lot of I know fans from Houston who are coming up there because of the draft, because they want to just be part of the festivities. And they're excited. And they've been up there to begin with. So, yes, I would say there's a buzz. And one reason it's so good for the city is every time you see on the NFL Network or ESPN a promo about the draft, it's always got Nashville in there. And it, the people that got it there, the city leaders, the politicians, Amy Adams Strunk, everybody that played a role, it was an extraordinary decision to do whatever it took to get it because it'll be paid back 20-fold.
John, there's a tweet that just came in that your blood may boil over. You ready for this?
Fire away.
We, the fans, need to know who lays claim to the Oilers throwback jersey that you're bringing to the silent auction, Houston or Tennessee?
Well, it's an Oilers jersey, and the Oilers are the Titans, so they can't ever take away the history of the Oilers here because the history will always be here. Earl Campbell played here, but the Oilers are the Titans. All you got to do is go to Canton, Ohio to see the display to know that.
I thought you would get more fired up over that. I know that's been a hot topic with shows there.
No, it doesn't get me fired up. It gets fans and talk show hosts fired up here.
We're fired up that you're coming to town tomorrow. Travel safe.
I am too. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see everybody for such a great cause. Can't wait to interview Amy Adams Strunk about her life, about the Titans, about the NFL, the draft, a lot of things. Amy, I talked to her a long time on Saturday, and she and her husband Bill are really excited to be there.
Thank you so much, John.
I'll talk to you guys. Thank you.
Okay, John McClain. Follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL.